You're damn right we start now. In the loop, Sports Radio 610, as he mentioned, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula. Let's get cooler.
Let's get cooler.
Let's get cooler.
Let's get cooler.
We went to the Game of Thrones, which, I mean, look, popular show, so let's not pretend like it's not that, but let's get cooler. We could talk about that, but why would we do that when we could talk about the coolest man maybe in the league, right? He was the AFC Player of the Week. His name is offensive player, that is. His name is Joe Mixon, right? Mm-hmm. And he might have done something even more spectacular than just putting up damn near 160 yards, damn near 180 all-purpose. Did he change, in fact, the way that this team is going to go about offense for the entirety of the season? That's the question. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. You can also catch us on the YouTube and the Twitch. Yeah. Those things are always available. And the Odyssey app is always, always there for you. But Lopez, do you think that Joe Mixon, his performance on Sunday, changed the path, changed the future of this offense and how they operate?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this before the show. The answer to me is absolutely yes. Now, that's a good thing in every way. Because, you know, DeMeco Ryans came in here, you know, even before they drafted C.J. Stroud and said, we want to be a running team. We want to run first. We want to establish the run. We want to do this and that. It's what they do. It's what he is. Even in San Francisco, you know, as much as, you know, that offense is predicated on the quarterback making big plays, they run the ball. It's the zone scheme, offensive blocking and running the ball. If Joe Mixon continues on this path, and I'm not saying 159, we always have to qualify it because nobody is expecting that. But if he is that...
Someone's expecting it. I think someone is somewhere.
Who's expecting 159 yards a game?
I'm not saying they're being reasonable, but someone in there is like, yeah, 159's coming back again.
Sean just said he's expecting it.
You walked outside. Yeah. There's definitely somebody out of this 2 million person area here that's expecting that.
It's like that people, that those guys that... expected Yao Ming to score 78 points a game because he was tall.
Same That's right. Just, all he's doing is just put the ball in the
it's
basket.
So easy.
You're just dropping it in.
It's so easy.
That's the same guy who says he averages 4.2 yards per carry.
That's right.
Just handing the ball every time.
That's right.
Or even, first and 10, not
even
first
better.
And 15.
Right? You win every time you run the ball 20 times. So just run the ball 20 times. And you win.
Yeah, we ran 20 carries for 26 yards. We're supposed to win.
So I was thinking about this because DeMeco talked about him yesterday. CJ talked about him. He spoke as well in the locker room. And this is a with this version, let me put it that way, Reggie, with this version of Joe Mixon for 15, 16, 17 games, hopefully all 17, but we know how the NFL is, this is a different offense than what we expected.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing.
For sure, for sure. Because, like, and we might have already kind of, like, gotten too deep on this, right, in the ways of it's been a week. But, man, like, the idea that you can really change pace, right, like, in baseball terms, I don't even know, would this be considered the curveball? Like the idea of, hey, you know that you have the passing game to deal with. You know that you have the five-headed monster, I guess, or like in the pass game, the three, four-headed monster of you got Diggs, you got Collins, you got Dell.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'll have to deal with the tight ends as well, making sure that they don't then eat you up because you're worried about those guys. And, oh, yeah, that's right. If you get too light in the butt in the box, we will walk you down all the way down the field, right? Like that additional element, and that's very apparent, especially with Joe Mixon himself, right? Not just the idea of running the ball, but running the ball between the tackles when you needed to, like those types of things, for sure. So, yeah, I think that definitely shifts.
Well, and here's the other thing, is despite him rushing for 159 yards, as we've talked about, is any defense, including the Bears on Sunday night, are they going to go into the game saying, dude, everything we all our resources, let's do everything we can to stop Joe Mixon? I don't think so. I don't think they are. I still think they know what CJ Stroud is. They know what these receivers are. So that's why I'm saying, like, this is the best thing that's happened to the Texans in a long time, because the offense now, CJ Stroud got better, even if the numbers aren't better.
Yeah.
All the receivers got better, even if they don't all go for 3,000 yards. And so, like, the whole approach of this offense has changed, and I think that's it's made the Texans, presuming he can keep this up and they can keep you know, balancing it like they have with him, leaning more toward him, that this has become a team that is more dangerous than ever.
Absolutely. And I think also the unique way that this thing went, it wasn't just a good performance, it was a dominant run performance. And of course, I do need to take a second to be like, hey, Kenyon Green, hey, the rest of this offensive line, you guys also obviously factored into this. Why every year at the end of the season, or whoever, whatever running back had a monster of a season, they go in and make sure that they spend some money on those big uglies, as they like to call them, in the trenches, right? No disrespect to those fine fellas. But, yeah, man, when it comes down to that, like, I think the way that they did this, the high level that they did this, I think also makes it very apparent that you can win in different ways. Not only do you have an additional pitch in your arsenal, right, to continue the baseball metaphor that started earlier, like, now you also have this where if you have a game like a B-minus game, or if you have a C game somehow with the offense or with the passing offense, which does not feel like it's a thing that can happen, to be completely honest, but if somehow you do, You can switch the perspective, or maybe you can even come into a game and you're like, we are going to run to win this game, as opposed to that is a compliment. Yeah. It can carry the day if you need it to, especially when you have somebody that's able to put up 160.
But that said, put on your defensive coordinator hat if you have one. If you're a defensive coordinator about to face the Texans, are you saying we've got to stop Joe Mixon? I mean, obviously he's in the game plan, but your defense is still going to be what it was in Indianapolis. You know, you still have to worry about C.J. Stroud. You still,
for sure.
So that's why I'm saying Joe Mixon, like, you talk about a bird's nest on the ground.
You think this is foul money?
like this is the best thing that's happened to him. And, oh, by the way, shout out to D'Amico and especially Nick Caserio. Keep in mind, let's try to remember this because I forgot. They traded a 7th-round pick for him, dude.
Yeah, man.
A 7th-round pick.
That is
Biggie. Nothing. For a guy like that. Unbelievable.
Right. And, like, the crazy thing is that it paid dividends immediately.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't even know. How different would this feel if you got this in, like, week 10?
A lot different.
Right? Where it's like, all right, it's been solid, but then, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Week 1, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, this is a whole different element.
They can do that.
Yeah, you start questioning why Cincinnati traded the guy.
Yeah.
What's wrong with y'all?
You got rid of him for Zach Moss?
Which, actually, I don't know how much I question that. That just feels like, oh, okay, you can only not be the Bengals for so long.
Yeah, that's that cheapness coming out in there.
You can see that
cheapness dripping.
Yeah.
That's right. And, yes, 361 on the text line. Again, 713-572-4610. I'd hate to be the defensive coordinator for the Bears this week.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like, I'd hate to be the defensive coordinator for any team. I think this is the crux of what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong. That now, this puts every defensive coordinator in that much more of a bind, because not to say that this Texas team was one-dimensional, but you could probably view them as one-dimensional, especially after the running attack that they had last season. Yeah. All right, they're just going to pass the ball. Even that was going to be a problem, because where are they passing the ball? The issues that this receiving core that this offense provides are tough ones to deal with. You have pretty much every style of player, players that can, you know, facilitate every style of passing, where you talk about, you know, big jump ball guy, you talk about precise route running, you talk about anything that you want within that, right? Like, just kind of finding open space and, you know, sitting in spaces between the zones, right? You have all of that. So that was already going to make defense tough enough. And then you add the element of, now you also have to try and defend all of that, but then also not get too loose on it to where a running back is going to tear you up, a running game is going to tear you up. Like, I don't know how, I don't know if there's a defense that exists that accounts for every single one of those possibilities all at the same time.
And that's why I said, we talked about at the very beginning here, did it change the path of the offense? The path of this offense now is such that you're going into every game, as I mentioned, you know, it's still CJ and the receivers, but that's going to change in a heartbeat. And then what happens on the other side? They go back to the receivers deep. They, you know, it opens everything up. Like, this is a team all of a sudden that, if this continues, huge if, we're 1 week into 17 or 18 weeks, but 17 games, you know, it could change. But if this path continues, like, this offense might be one of those that, you know, I don't want to make any comparisons because people immediately go there, but might be one of those that people look back on and say, wow, they had every element. And we thought going in it was going to be CJ and the receivers, you know?
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the 979 text, or sorry, 346. You guys are tripping. Barring injury, I expect at least one more game with more yards and less carries.
I don't think that's outrageous.
Ooh. Running wise?
Because he could bust one.
For sure. That's true. Because, like, they just punished him. Yeah, that is also a great point. That why have I not considered that, right?
He didn't bust a 48-50 yarder.
Did you have a 20-plus yarder run in this one?
Yeah.
From him? Like, I don't think he did.
He was the king of I used this line
over and over again.
I used this line a long time ago, and it just occurred to me. I think I used it in a column. I'll put it this way. I said the Texans. Joe Mixon was gaining yards only a counterfeiter would love in 10s and 20s. That's how he was just chunking up 10-yarders on your ass, and he kept doing that.
It was the petty person who's like, I'm going to pay back the debt, but you're getting it in pennies, right? Like, this is just going to happen to where it's not just that you're going to give up this big chunk of money. It's going to happen in very slow increments to the point where it's – and those are the things that are the most demoralizing for defense. I think I heard Andy Kalu talking about it on one of the Texas All Access – Texas All Access shows on this very program, and we'll talk to our guy Andy at 11 on this program. But yeah, just it's demoralizing. It's not just we let one play up and we just got to fix that thing. It's like we are trying a whole bunch of different things over various plays that just wear you down. And I love it, man. I love that that's available to you.
I do too. You know, Joe Mixon's best season was in 2021, 1,200 plus yards rushing, 42 catches. If he gets that, this is going to be a team that's on a path to one of the all-time great offenses. And the other part of this is the way that he got it. No, it is. Like if you get 1,242 catches.
Yeah.
I mean, then you're not going to have the 3,000-yard receivers or whatever, but you're going to have an offense that is going to absolutely just destroy people. I mean, it's going to be one of those type offenses, you know, and you know, D'Amico talked about him yesterday. CJ talked about him yesterday. They know it. They know that if we can just keep this guy healthy, what they have going.
All right, you mentioned these guys. It seems like also you got this from Cody Stoops.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon on We Have Reservations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's more so the attitude and that mentality. You know, me and Steph talk about it all the time about how we got reservations. And we late. You know what I'm saying? So we trying to go get to it. And, you know, when people turn on that tape and they play them Texans, they not out there bullshit. And when you turn on that tape, that's what you want to see. So we only going to get better. We only going to get more polished in the offensive side of it. And we just got to do whatever we can to play collectively as a team.
The possibilities are just, you know, they're just teasing us right now because we're only one game in. And but the possibilities are incredible.
The thing I love about that is like, hey, man, we on business right now.
Yes.
And I think that might be the one thing about this performance mentality wise. And I try not to go into like kind of the psychology of this all because we can get into a place where we're kind of just talking out of our keisters at the time. But like the psychology of it, I talk about wearing a defense down like. The run game is just a different type of psychology than the pass game, right? It is just like, hey, man, we heard this phrase as well, grown man football, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is a strap on, right? Strap up and, you know, get to work because it's going to be a long day for you. And I think that particularly in that performance, especially in the ways that it wasn't big chunk plays, like giant chunk plays, it was like, boom, successful run. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the mentality that it also inflicts on a defense is really the
I think that mentality is the big part of the story. In fact, you can sense it, even in this cut, because I don't know who the other player was, but another player in the background when he said, we have reservations and we're late.
Yeah,
the other guy. Play that
in
again.
Chorus.
Play that again, Figgy, at the very end. Listen to the background. So I think this is a mentality that is sort of emanating throughout the entire locker room. We're going to have the type of offense that when you play us, you know you're going to play it. You know you played us. And not only that, we got a dude here.
My mentality. You know, me and Steph talk about it all the time about how we got reservations. And we late.
We late.
Which means, like, look, man, this is a rallying cry. This ain't just like a thought process. Yeah. This wasn't just a thing that they said. This is a rallying cry.
Yeah.
And, man, one of the things I love about this team thus far is just those rallying cries are things that they clearly believe to the core. They hold dear, right? Mm-hmm. And I imagine for a lot of coaches, in fact, you've coached before in your lifetime, right? There's always a message that you're trying to get to your team. And I imagine over time, you see that some stick more with teams than others, right? Some are just like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But that's not actually going to apply. These ones, it feels like this team is really internalized. And it's nice that it's not just the ones that are coming from the top down with D'Amico, right? The swarm mentality does, in fact, stick. But this is one that seems to come from the quarterback and the running back and everybody. Like, you do have people still buying in and believing in that way.
All right, let's play this game. I've been trying to avoid
713 said that was Stephon Diggs.
It sounded like him, and he mentioned Steph, but I didn't want to make that assumption. But
that's right.
Either way, 713-572-4610. Let's go ahead and play that game.
Uh-oh.
If you get this, not the 159, but a guy that can finish with 1,200 yards and 40 to 42 catches, what would this offense compare to?
I mean, before you even got to that place, the 832 came in and said very similar to the greatest show on turf.
That's the one I was thinking of. I'm not going to lie. And look, we're caught up.
Pass me some of that Kool-Aid.
That's why I didn't want to say it.
And a very, very strong if. That's mm-hmm. The if was carrying a lot of weight there.
Yeah, if was a fifth.
Yeah, no.
Dude, man.
No, look.
We'd be throwing up right now, man.
you are preaching to the choir.
We'd be.
And that's why I was avoiding bringing it up.
You'd be like them boys on Mad Dog Monday.
Yeah.
Like.
But if you get 1,240 catches... I'm not going to say greatest show on turf, but I thought of it. I thought of the mid-90s Cowboys. So you got a guy like Emmitt, chunking up. And he was that type of runner. He wasn't real fast. He wasn't a real, Barry Sanders 60-yard type. He was a 8-10, 15, 8-30, something like that. And I'm not saying they're going to be that. I'm saying the path of this offense, how we started this whole conversation, has changed. The type of offense we expected and the type of offense we expect now, for me anyway, is different.
And I think this is an interesting thing that comes in from 346, where their concern with the Texans is, will Bobby Slowick know what to do with all the toys? And that ends up being, right, like, there is a possibility, and we've seen this in all various portions of life, where you can get paralyzed by indecision mm-hmm. because you have too many options available for you. It's one of the reasons why I firmly am a believer in, like, parameters are freeing, right? You have certain things where it's not endless possibilities. Yeah. Now we narrow this down, and I have some freedom within this box, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things is that is going to be something to watch. But the first test on that, Bobby Slowick passed it pretty well because he managed to get some balance. But then also they did not deviate from the thing that was successful.
Yeah, Mixon changed his course. I guarantee he didn't go in there saying we're going to run the ball 30 times.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mixon got the ball 30 times, like running the football, right? But you still were able to balance all these things. And so I have belief in his capability of balancing all those things. And I think that is going to be a thing to continue to watch. Dear listener, but I do think that is interesting. Shout out to A32 mentions Oilers run a shoot. Mm-hmm. How you feel about that as a comparison?
No, not at all. Because they had good running backs, don't get me wrong.
But nothing like
the running game was really draws, delayed traps, that type stuff. It wasn't pound. They didn't have a tight end. The run and shoot does not have a tight end.
But I mean, like, now you're getting into the
No, I'm saying they didn't because Joe Mixon pounded them, That wasn't the run and shoot. The run and shoot was more deception. Mm-hmm. But the receiver part, I'm with.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Keep texting those in. What could this offense look like if you get what seems like is a possibility for the upper echelon of what this team could be? But I think the answer that we can definitely agree on is that performance that you got, that running performance you got against the Colts week one,
mm-hmm.
that shifts the way that things can go, the way that things can happen. And, I mean, we get our next data point Sunday night football, NRG Stadium versus the Bears. Liberty Wideout. Make sure you get your parking done before Sunday, because if you try and get it done on Sunday, you will be sorely, sorely disappointed. There you go. Coming up next, I don't know, does this feel like a sore disappointment? Both of those words feel like puns in some ways, because the Astros injuries popping back up. We'll talk about that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it, love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 60.
How am I supposed to do a show when as soon as we're about to come back from break, I'm told that there's tacos and pastries
Hold
over
on,
there.
Keep talking.
Hey, they told
right
me.
That's wild. It is in the loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez for the time being.
I like
Figgy
tacos.
Fig. Also, maybe for the time being. No, we got audio to play. You got to hang around. Myself, Reginald Atitula, and you. That's right. I don't know if they brought those, but Sean might be over there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He might be over there making
a video or something like that.
It's Taqueria
Sarandas.
Hey, you ain't say that the one time. You tried to be fancy and say it in Spanish.
I did. Oh, well.
There you go. Thanks for hanging out with us. See y'all on the YouTube, on the Twitch, and then also, of course, text it in 713-572-4610. Should be a fun day here on Sports Radio 610. I have it on good authority. Titus Howard will be on the station.
How about that?
2:15 on the drive.
And we have tacos.
Yeah, I was like, look, that's going to be fun for us. Yes. Maybe that'll make the show better for you, because I don't know that we can give you any tacos through the radio or anything like that. But you can appreciate us enjoying them, I guess. Mm-hmm. What I did not enjoy, I will be completely honest. And I'm kind of glad that our plans kind of fizzled out a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that we would have had a lot of fun watching this game end like this.
Mm-hmm.
Butler is there, and the Astros drop this one 5-4. Astros had a couple of leads in this game and couldn't hold on. A 3-run sixth inning with Kyle McCann delivering a 2-run home run in that inning. Give the A's a 5-4 final, and the Astros have dropped the first two games of this series in 6 out of 8 overall.
6 out of 8? How did that happen so fast?
I don't know. I think I was telling
that part hit me hard.
The Astros, baby. Oh, yeah. 6 out of 8?
Well, I mean,
it's 6 out of 8.
Some
man.
Of the reason that happened was, again, we talked about some of that defense. Some of that stuff has been kind of problematic.
We've seen it in this game.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We sure did. Like, all right, let's have the defense talk before we talk about what the thing that I think, for me personally, I'm more interested in. Because I think I might have, I don't know if I've come to terms with this or just kind of expect this, but the defense is something that's hitting you square in the chest.
It is, because, we're talking about, like, they're in, they're going to make the playoffs. You know, the Mariners aren't going to do anything.
3.5 games, though, right?
I get it.
So I switched to the Mariners game right after that when they was playing the Padres.
Because they were on Fox, right?
And as soon as I switched to it, they said, the Astros lost. Shout out to the A's. They helping us out.
Yeah.
The Astros just leaving that door open.
Look, if anything we've learned this year, it's that anything is possible. But I feel most of us feel pretty comfortable with the Astros getting in. So I'm starting to, I said yesterday, I don't quite feel the same as I always have. And I don't think anybody honestly would say they do as in years past, but like you start to feel starting pitching, you're it's going to be good. Now let's just see how they handle the postseason and all that, but it's going to be good. The injuries are always going to be there, and it's something that you're going to have to sort of just mix and match and make work. And the offense is going to have to get on a hot streak. But I think the biggest hurdle, so to speak, is clear now for this Astros and where they want to get. And it's defense. I mean, we've talked about the defense. We've talked about how they've struggled and they got to clean it up and all this other stuff. Right now, the defense is a disaster. Let's not even, I mean, they lost the game yesterday in large part because of a tailor-made double play that Jose Altuve just botched.
Yeah.
And
he looks so sad after that,
looks
man.
So bad.
He just dropped his whole head down.
And by the way, we'll get back to Jose Altuve and cap or no cap later in the show as well. But it's the defense. Like, you have defense letdowns like you've had in so many recent games in a playoff series. You ain't going to win. I mean, you're going to lose that one game because those are the things that happen. So right now, my whole focus is this defense is a disaster, and if it can't get any better, you're just in trouble. I mean, you're just in trouble in the postseason, and it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing, and maybe you can, like our friend Pal Pals on YouTube says, like, maybe the decision to bring Hunter Brown out for the sixth was not the one, because ultimately he gives up 3 runs there, and that's the deciding factor in this game. I think I'm in a place where I have a decent amount of faith in Joe Espada, and especially with the starting pitchers just overall. The defense is much more of a concern because it's a lower level of quality compared to any of the other things that we talk about, any of the other facets of the game when it comes to pitching. Even managing, and then also at the plate. The one thing I will say, though, at the plate is, hey, man, how many dudes are going to be there and ready to go? Because when guys are there and when the time seems to arise, this team gets hot, right? This team finds a way to get things done, rather whether, championship medal or whatever you'd like to ultimately classify that as. They typically will show up in that way, right? So I don't know. Like, that is one of those things that maybe you could talk about, but are they going to be there because the gremlins pop up, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Kyle Tucker had a very particular thing that now, once that fracture seems to have been handled in some ways, he seems to be making his way back. Obviously, swinging the bat, hopefully be in the field sooner rather than later, and then everything is cool there. Jordan is Jordan, right? But now you have Altuve, in the middle of an at-bat in, what was that, the fifth or the sixth? But in the middle of this game, he just kind of has to call them in from the dugout, like, hey, man, this right side not feeling right.
Yeah.
And so if you don't mind here, Fig, I do want to get Altuve talking about this because we were trying to figure out what happened there, right? Like, we don't know exactly what happened there. Here's Altuve. This is cut one. Talking about how, you know, we just don't quite know yet.
I just wait until, like, it's too early to get something done. Wait until tomorrow, see how I feel, and go from there.
I don't, you know what I'm going to say about this.
What are you going to say? I would like to hear from your mouth.
He said, it, you know, all's going to be good. Joe Espada said, we'll see on this. Doesn't think it's that big a deal. I mean, how many times have we heard this before? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying you can't trust them. I don't know if it's bad. It might not be anything.
You feel like this is a can't trust situation?
What evidence do we have that we can?
I hear you on that.
Like what?
My man has been like, they have hurt me. They have hurt me.
What single piece? Name one single piece of evidence.
They have hurt me.
How about what happened yesterday? And Tyler Milner went off on this, and I was laughing my butt off. So 4 p.m. before the game.
Yeah.
They're talking about Chaz McCormick, okay? Yeah, it's, you know, what was it, wrist, whatever, and it's going to be fine, it's whatever, he'll be fine. After the game at 10 p.m., yeah, he's going on IL.
Yeah. In fact, him and Chaz McCormick goes to IL, Nick Hernandez is option, and the Astros have called up Greg Kessinger and Brian King.
Just give me, that has happened. I mean, this is the boy crying wolf. Like, maybe this is legit, and they're telling the truth, and it's going to be fine, and he's going to be out there and all that.
Yeah.
But there is not a single piece of evidence to believe them. Not one.
Well, I will say that at least when it comes to Jose Altuve, I don't think that he said anything that would require us to, like, not believe him. And look, let's see if you believe I'm right or if I'm wrong here. Fig, this was Altuve talking about if he felt worried about this at all.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm not really worried. Like I said, maybe I just wake up tomorrow and I'm good to go. So we don't really want to take any decisions tonight because... You know, normally in an injury, you wait until the next day and see how you feel.
Okay.
That feels like standard, though. That feels like a standard procedure where you don't have evidence right now that it's absolutely going to be an issue. So he's going to go from a positive perspective.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything as of this morning or as of this, when we're talking about it right now, when it comes to what it looks like. What will be very telling is what the lineup looks like for the game. Which is what is a
well? He won't play today, right? Afternoon game.
I would hard pressed.
Yeah,
but I imagine that once we start getting in, once we get out to the ballpark, you know, get reporters out to the ballpark and talking to the manager and those types of things, maybe we get a little bit of insight. But then I guess that speaks back to the idea of how much can you trust whatever they ultimately.
Joe Espada after the game, he's dealing with some right side discomfort. I'm not really concerned right now. Okay.
Sound like Tommy John to me.
Cool story.
All right. Okay. But yeah, the reason why I brought all this up ultimately is then it just feels like if it's not one thing, it's another.
That's true.
And so is everybody going to be feeling, and to be fair, like Altuve's played damn near all these games, right? As you've had dudes up and down, and that as a dude who is not a spring chicken, like that was a possibility is that you end up looking up and you go, oh man, you've overutilized him, and maybe that's the case.
And
but
he's been healthy all year.
That's the thing that gets a little frustrating as you really barrel towards the end of the season and towards the postseason. Is he going to feel good? We'll see what we ultimately get here. 713 asks a question: why is Bregman hitting cleanup, especially after success he had batting second? Espada likes what you're getting out of Yordan batting second.
And Bregman's done that in the past. I mean, I think they're just trying to get those bigger top of the order at bats for Yordan as well.
Yeah. And I know that Yordan has said, like, you know, he kind of batting second doesn't give him as much time to see as many balls in that second at bat. But
correct.
I think that with a guy like that, give him more opportunities to get up to the plate, man. I'm a firm believer in this new school of baseball where we are, where it's like, hey, those kind of traditional roles of, oh, you have this type of hitter and that, get. Put your good hitters up early and try and see if you can get
more at-bats equals more at-bats. Opportunities.
Yeah. And especially when it comes to Yordan and the guarantees that we know that he provides.
Yeah.
I'm good with that as it is. But, yeah, they'll play again 1 p.m., 1:10 first pitch going today, and they're trying to avoid a sweep against the A's.
Man.
Like, I know that the A's have been playing incredible baseball.
Mm-hmm.
and yet saying it sounds nonsensical, but you got to see him really.
It's still the A's, man.
It is still the A's, but ultimately, man, seeing what the status of Jose Altuve is going to be super important. Seeing if Kyle Tucker eventually plays the field, going to be important. We'll keep you up to date when we get more information in that regard. And remember, and of course, I have set myself up not for success in this moment, but I do want to remember that our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, time for the question of the day here in the loop. What's your most embarrassing phone/social media moment? 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. Buddy, I don't know if I can even say that on air. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
The words that I wanted to say from that song are not ones that I should say on air, but what we will say on air is it's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and I'm Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. What's your most embarrassing phone or social media moment? 713-572-4610. Oh, you throw it in the YouTube chat, throw it in the Twitch chat. What brought this up? We'll talk about that more.
Want me to play the audio?
Oh, boy. Please don't. It's 10:45. I think the baby should be in school, but still, I don't know. There's people that listen to us at work and such. I don't know. But yes, a prominent sports figure had a social media faux pas in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday,
I think that's the sound he made.
Okay, all right, yep. but yeah, that got us thinking. Hey, let's all kind of exist in this place a little bit. Let's have fun as a community. What is yours? What is your moment where, you know, maybe you use your phone a little bit wrong, social media a little bit wrong, and it was embarrassing?
All right, so let's be honest here. I want to hear your worst. Your worst phone/social media faux pas.
You want to know what the bad thing for me is, though? Mm-hmm. I am of the school, maybe not even the school of thought, but I've gotten to the point where I realize that I just kind of bury those memories away.
I was trying
I had a hard time remembering, but I remembered one.
I remembered one.
Right. Embarrassing things, I'm just like, we're locking that away in the chest. And so I really have to go in like, all right, let me see if I can remember this. Yeah. So it might take me a second. I might come up with one.
So fortunately, I haven't had anything, or maybe unfortunately, similar to that one.
All right.
But, okay, so.
Yeah, he was having a time. Yeah, I will say that.
So this was in this building with a previous program director who called a meeting.
Oh, no.
Yes. And the meeting was going on, and it was a lot of stuff that was just boring, repetitive, etc. And I was in a group chat with some of my coworkers.
And you didn't check who all was in there?
I did not.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I texted, when is this bleeping guy going to stop?
Not the bleeping guy.
When is this effing guy going to stop? But here, okay, I want y'all to tell me if I covered for it appropriately or not. Because once I realized, oh, bleep, he's on the text thread. Because I thought it was another one. And that's where I get in all my trouble on this thing. That's okay. But once I realized, I kind of reverted it directly to him and said, because somebody had asked a long question.
Uh-huh.
And it was like their second question in the meeting. We, you know, there's always that guy.
Oh, yes, yeah. There is.
So I actually said, yeah, that question was blah, blah, blah. But I think I still don't know. You know, I told him it was about the question, not him.
Oh, okay.
That's decent. Yeah. He knows in there, but he appreciates the effort that you made.
When is this effing guy going to stop?
This is the worst part. Now I'm thinking about all the other faux pas of other people that I've seen. I'm trying to remember one specifically for me. Where I think in general terms, I'm sure that I've done the thing where you think about someone and that you're trying to text about and you text it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say, you know what? I might actually have to just go into the phone. Because one of my bad things is I keep all my texts. So yeah. I probably have texts that go back for a long time. Let me see if I can find one.
Yeah, so mine is kind of similar to Lopez, but I wasn't in this field yet. I was working at a kid's home, for mentally disabled kids.
Yeah.
And our supervisor, our shift supervisor, was in a real funky mood for some reason.
Yeah.
And I tried to text my other coworker, like, hey, let's just get the work done because she kind of feeling some type of way. I don't know why, but let's get it going. But I sent it to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I text that to her.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm like, oh, my God.
Did you cover it?
I couldn't cover it. It went to her phone, man. It went to her phone. I think I just said her name and everything in the text.
Oh, no. But see, that's why I have a chance that he didn't know.
Yeah, you was generic with it.
Because I said this effing guy.
Yeah, that could have been any guy. But, yeah, I couldn't cover it up. The good thing was I wasn't disrespectful at all, but I was just like, hey, let's get our work done so we could chill. Because she's kind of in the mood, pretty much. Well, she admitted she was in the mood, but she was really in the mood after I texted that to her.
From the 832, I was texting my wife to come into the bedroom and accidentally test for, you know what, and accidentally texted a guy at my office.
Okay.
That ain't leaving anytime soon.
No, it depends, right? The guy at your office, is that one of your friends at work, or is that just a dude at work? Because I feel like that can have varying degrees of problem, right? Because if it's a friend, you think, all right, but this would be cool. But now that's something that they can hold over you in various conversations and crack on you. If it's someone you don't know, now it's just awkward. Like, how do I manage to navigate this situation?
Yeah. How about this one? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I kind of did that to somebody at work one time. I was getting my hair done, and it was late at night. It was like 11:40 at night, and I tried to text my wife. I tried to text her. I was on my way home. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, I'm on my way home. But I text my coworker, who was a guy. And so it just looked so weird now. He tried to question me, like, where were you at late at night? Like, you a married man. What you mean you're on your way home?
How about this one? Using his phone to help with his, you know, shaving downstairs.
Yeah, he's manscaping.
Yeah. Used his phone to help shaving downstairs. Then realized he had the camera on and started getting thumbs up and laughing emojis.
Oh, man.
He was live streaming.
Oh man. No.
He was live streaming.
Yeah, because at first I was like, okay, you had your camera up. So what, you took a few pictures? No.
He was live streaming, shaving, manscaping.
That is, yikes. Big yikes.
I had an auntie-in-law, so it was my wife's auntie.
Yeah.
I guess they have a ladies group chat, and they have a group chat with me in it, too.
Uh-huh.
And some other guys in it. So she sent a picture from the dressing room, like showing her some jeans she was wearing.
Yeah.
Pretty bra, just jeans. And I'm just like, what is going
on? This is not, I was not the intended audience.
So what I did was I sent the SpongeBob meme to I'ma head out.
Yep.
So everybody started blowing my phone up afterwards, like, man, you was crazy for that. But I guess she sent it to the wrong group chat.
Shout out to the 281, sent their mother-in-law a text trash talking their mother-in-law. Yep, that's a classic.
That's how I usually go.
That is a classic. From the 832, they said when you first could sync your iPhone with your iPad. They said they got caught when their girl saw them actively texting and flirting with their side piece.
Oh man.
Yeah, I like those.
Don't sync the iPad up.
You're not off the hook. I know you got one, but I like those videos we see from ball games when somebody's texting and then somebody's doing a video of them texting like some other girl.
Those are, yeah. Yeah. Man, this is tough because I try to be a G with my socials and stuff. It probably is one of those instances, and again, I can't give you specifics because I can't remember a specific one as I've buried all these, but I guarantee you that there's been a moment where you send a text, and I'm a notoriously, I don't proofread my text messages, as you absolutely should. Do as I say, not as I do, please, for your own benefit. And I'm sure that there's been a time where I sent something that was real suspect because I didn't actually proofread, and I had to come back like an hour later and be like, oh, no. Those are not the words I meant. And I feel bad because I feel like I'm not participating, but guarantee, like, it's happened and it was bad. I just can't remember it because I block these things.
It was one time on Facebook. I tried to search somebody and I didn't realize it was a post.
Oh, yes.
So it's just somebody next. So it'd be like John Lopez. I just post a random post said John Lopez.
And the worst part, if you catch it real quick, there's still someone who saw it, but
yeah,
it's when you leave it up for like 2 hours and they're like, oh, what were you doing?
Yeah,
exactly.
Trying to search somebody's name, or you might be on somebody's page and you thinking you about to write a post, but you write that post on their page, on their wall. It's just like, all right, I got caught. caught slipping.
Our guy Ocho sent some scantily clad pictures. Actually, his cousin sent some scantily clad pictures of females meant for the guy's group text. Sent it to their mothers.
Instead.
Man.
It was one time I almost got caught up in this. This was fairly recent, probably like earlier this year.
Yeah.
So I have a friend named Shay who.
Shay?
Nah, not that Shay. No,
you call him Unk at all?
No. This is a female.
All right.
But I bought an iPad from her and I met her with my wife and all that stuff. We got the iPad and took off. And then she texted me later on saying, I don't appreciate you trying to kiss me. Da, 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 da. I'm like, wait, what? And then I looked and the text was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then she texted me back because you could delete, could unsend a text.
Yeah.
And then she texted me back, I'm so sorry about that. That was for somebody else.
Yeah, you ended up in something that you had no business in.
I was about to say, wait a minute. Like, no, I did not try. Yeah. I clearly went and got that iPad, and that was it. Like, we didn't even hug.
Oh, this is from the 21. They said Apple Watch got them caught because you erased the message from your phone, but it stays on your watch. Luckily, it was before they married. Okay.
Oh, wow. Oh,
man.
Wow.
I know someone who had their significant other outed on cheating because of a Apple Watch situation where it noticed that the activity had gone up.
Right? Oh.
And she got the message that, hey, the heart rate's going up. It's like, what are you doing right now?
Hey, you're going for a run?
Wow. She gets it? Like another person can get that?
Oh, man.
I think the phone was like somewhere else or something like that. I can't remember exactly how that came about.
Hey,
yeah.
It looked like you're going for a walk. You want to record this?
Yeah. 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 So shout out to all the folks who have had technology get them get them caught up. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Astros who have also put out their lineup. For those of you that were wondering, why is Bregman not hitting why is he hitting cleanup and all that? He's hitting leadoff today, playing third. You have Yordan left field again, he'll be batting second. Yainer is behind the plate, batting third. Tucker still DHing fourth. Pena, fifth. Singleton in first base today, batting sixth. Jake Myers, center field, seventh. You have Hayward and Wright, batting eighth. And Dubon, who is filling in for Altuve, he's batting ninth at second base. So there you go. That's what we have there. We'll keep looking for updates when it comes to injuries, those types of things when it comes to the Astros, as they'll be playing 110 versus the A's. But coming up next, we get our Thursday, weekly Thursday visit from our guy, my favorite Nigerian, ND Kalu. We'll do it next.